say that we're getting a late start today. We got to really fulfill what we learned the first time, that we're starting late because we were zochah to listen to Hespedin this morning in the Beis Medrash. And if you recall, that's the din that we learned the first time, that there were mevatlin Beis Medrash for the Revayer, for the Hesped of Adam Gadol, especially one who was involved in the learning and teaching of Torah. So I think, just to speak for myself, that it is not only a fulfillment of that din that we learned, but it itself was an education on that din, that was perhaps as much of a studying of that sugya as anything else, because it really brings home just why that's true. I think it's safe to say that all of us who heard those Hespedim this morning come away phenomenally inspired and motivated and uplifted, and to understand just how hearing Hespedim about such a person such as the Lichtenstein is itself not only an act of the Kabbalah Torah, but really an act of Talmud Torah. It teaches us how to be, who to be, why to be, and itself, that experience, again, is not only a review of that sugya that we did a few months ago, but is itself a studying of that sugya. It gives us a very deep and profound understanding of just why it is that we're told to devote our time to pursuit such as that. So we're a community in mourning, but we're a very fortunate community to have had such a role model and to continue to have such a role model. And I hope we're all worthy of what that kind of influence can do for us. And Zohar to take that model and to take that teaching and to move ever forward. So with that, we are now involved in a very different sugya. We started to talk about the question of how to understand the din of Moed Salai. Moed Salai, as we saw, is a din that we know that exists. The concept comes from the Gemara, but what exactly its impact is a topic of major, major dispute. And we were focusing on the controversial view of the Rambam that Moed Salai means that a woman who claims such a thing, the Gemara mentions it specifically in the context of, at least in the context of Tashmish, maybe another thing, but she says that he repulses me, I'm disgusted by him. So Rambam's position was, as we saw, that that entitles her to a divorce in the sense that we are kofeh, the husband, to divorce. And as we saw, this is a topic of major dispute, if that's true. Many Rishonim disagree in different ways and for different reasons. And attached back to quotes that there are at least seven different views in the Rishonim, how to understand the different components in the Gemara. We won't go through all seven, but just to kind of highlight just how difficult it is. So we know that the Gemara talks about Mozalai, Beina, Kamatsarale. She's interested, but she wants to give him a hard time. Certain cases where she loses the ksuba, certain cases where she doesn't lose the ksuba, certain cases where you wait 12 months, certain cases we don't wait 12 months. So as far as the combination of those different factors, there are apparently at least seven different views in the Rishonim and how the different parts come together. And we won't go through all of that, but we see at least on this major issue, is there kfiya for get? So the Rambam says that there is, and other Rishonim disagree. Some disagree very strongly. And the Shulchan Aruch, by inference, and the Ramah by inference, also seem to disagree and seem to assume this is not a situation where we're told to get. And that becomes very, very serious in its implications. Because if we are told to get, then according to those poskim, then it seems like there is a chash of Musa. And the Beis Shmuel poskins that indeed, even though he acknowledges that the view of the Rambam and others who agree with him exists, nonetheless, he says the halacha is not like them. And a get that is compelled under these circumstances, if she remarries somebody else, so we will force her to divorce that husband. In other words, even b'di'evet, it's no good, which is not exactly what the Rush said. So the Rush and the Tshuva, the Rush, when he argues in the Rambam, he says that he's talking about what he thinks policy should be here on in. He says anyone who relied on the Rambam in the past, okay, so that was the Rambam, so what to rely on. But as a matter of policy, he was against it. But this is what the Beit Shmuel writes, that we would be worried that it is a Ged Me'usa, and we would follow through the consequences. We would force her to divorce any ensuing husband afterwards. So we had started to ask the question, what exactly is the Machlokes here? Because the Rambam premises his position on a Svara, which is not controversial. The Rambam says that there should be a kfiyah for a divorce, because, as he goes on to explain, direct the flow from that sentence, kofenoso, because his language is shein kishavui etzlo, she's not like a prisoner by him, lihibal le sonoilo, that she should be compelled to have relations with somebody she hates, and therefore there is kfiyah. Parenthetically, other points we have to maybe follow up on. You know, we tried to discuss yesterday what exactly is the definition of ma'is olai, just what do those words mean. It's interesting to ask if the fact that the Rambam throws in the word here, hates, is that a necessary requirement of ma'is olai? Is that what ma'is means? Does it tell us something about the definition? Does it mean something more than that? Or didn't you want to comment?
Just based on the definition of ma'is olai, so we've seen in a couple of different places that people said, you know, the Ishra Blah in the Dover, that there has to be something, you know, legitimate concern that we were afraid that she's going to say ma'is olai and bounce. So can we say that for ma'is olai, there needs to be something objectively wrong, either with their relationship or with the husband, for her to, you know, I guess, leave the marriage in such a way? Like, do you need to have those boils, whatever the snares that Mark presents, or, I don't know, whatever, off the top of my head, like, verbally abusive or not fulfilling his part of the ketuvah, or whatever it is, but the point being something that Kulei Alma, everyone would agree that it's not a good situation for her to be in, as opposed to some subjective, oh, you know, money's a lie, I want to leave. And that takes away the Shema Nina Ino La'achet.
Right, so that's part of what we want to talk about today. We'll see how much it's a bigger topic than we first allotted for. But the truth is, so that's a little bit of the question. To a certain extent, the answer is very straightforward, that no, it's not those things, but we know that it's clearly not the things, the situations that are dealt with in yesterday's dafyomi, the boils, etc., because that's the thing in the Mishnah that we are kofa for that. So it's clear that Moed Salai is a different category. And it also seems to be pretty clear that it's some degree of subjectivity. So on both those points, I think we do have a pretty straightforward answer. However, setting aside those questions, what you just said, there is a lot to examine within your question, which is a major discussion from every angle. As we'll see, to what extent would it become different if it was more observable? And the question is asked in both directions, meaning would those who disagree with the Rambam agree if it was more observable? That's one of the things we want to try to figure out. Or there are those who go in the other direction and say the Rambam only means what he says when it's really more observable. The Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva about this Rambam where he suggests, and we'll see a little more about this, that it has to be something instinctive. But the definition of the term is that it's something essentially out of your control, meaning that if she were to intentionally cultivate an attitude of distaste for her husband, that would somehow not be included, even according to the Rambam. So we have to figure out, from all the different angles, is Ma'is Olai limited? Is it, we mentioned yesterday, sometimes the suggestion is it's kind of a catch-all, that it allows for everything to be open to a demand for divorce. If one would follow the Rambam, let's say, it would mean that anything goes, the wife can claim anything she wants. And we saw already yesterday that's probably not true, so we have to figure out what exactly are the limitations. Are there things that are excluded from Ma'is Olai? And alternatively, are there things in Ma'is Olai that would be so observable or so understandable that others who disagree with the Rambam might get on board? So that question itself is a very important question. Maybe it goes to the heart of a lot of the issues. While at the same time, saying a few of the points are pretty straightforward, that we're not talking about the same thing that we saw in yesterday's Daf Yomi Mishnah, and we have to assume that there is something subjective about it, pretty much by definition. And I think that Rishonim pretty much did across the board, that Rashi even writes, and even if he's a very handsome guy, and everyone in the whole rest of the world thinks he's the greatest catch ever, and it's hard to see how anyone and any woman wouldn't swoon for him, still we assume that she has the right to say, I'm disgusted by him, and that it's not something that anyone else has to understand, at least as far as the basic concept goes. But that inability to understand may impact the halacha or may not, and that's what we have to figure out. So the Rambam here is saying that A leads to B, so since everyone else agrees with A, everyone else agrees that she should not be forced to have physical relations with somebody who she feels ma'is alai, so why do they not follow through to the second step? Right, so why do they not necessarily agree that therefore kofi? Yes? The only reason it's rhetorical is because we started a discussion yesterday, but certainly you're certainly invited to comment.
Right, because we don't know what her intention is. She would be thinking.
Okay, so it seems like that's one major possibility, that a lot of the Rishonim seem to be concerned that we don't really know if she's telling the truth. So that is an idea which is really most explicitly in the Tosfos Rid. Did you get to see the Tosfos Rid? Right, so maybe we should look at it together a little bit, where it's pretty befarish there, and it sounds like the idea then is that really the Rambam's right, that this should be grounds for kfiya by divorce, but we're worried, and we're worried in a very serious way, because you know, this is an area which, it's actually true about a lot of things in halacha, it's a little disconcerting sometimes, that huge, huge consequences are going to hang on essentially subjective assessments. So whether this is a valid divorce and she's completely available to marry every non-Kohen around, or is she an Eishes Ish completely, is really going to hang on our assessment. And that's a very big deal. So some of the Rishonim appear to be afraid about that. That on the one hand, yes, Ma'aseh Alai should indeed justify a kfiya of a get, but what if it's not really Ma'aseh Alai? What if she's just faking that because she's interested in somebody else? And then the whole get is going to be puzzle, it's going to be no good, and she's going to be an Eishes Ish, and we have to worry about that. So how could we take such a step and create an Eishes Ish, or create a misconception about an already Eishes Ish, and we have to be concerned about that. So very serious consequences that some of the Rishonim seem to feel is the issue. So Ma'aseh Alai then, according to that perspective, on the one hand, yes, the halacha recognizes the subjective factor, endorses it as real, but at the same time acknowledges that it has shortcomings, that because it's subjective, we just can't deal with it fully, because we have no way of attesting that it's true, even though we acknowledge that it's a real thing, but it's still fakeable. So just to look a little bit at the Tosfos Rid, let's look at it together. In my printing, it's on the last line of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. I think in other Gemaras it'll end up in different places. But it starts off with Dibur Maskil Amra Ma'aseh Alai, Aval Amra Ma'aseh Alai. So it says Tosfos Rid, Shabala Ma'is Be'eneha. In that situation, Lo Kaifinin La Al Yedei Hefzik Subasa. So we don't force her to be with him through reducing her ksuba. Ella Manichin Osa B'merda. We allow her to remain uninterested, to remain in her state of rebellion. The Keva Debaila Ma'is Be'eneha. Because since the husband is discussing to her, anusa hi badavar, and pay attention to that phrase, we'll come back to that. That's one of the phrases that the Tzitz Eliezer picks up on, that anusa hi badavar, what can he do? She does nothing she can do in order to cooperate with his marriage. A woman who is disgusted by her husband cannot be expected to be with him, and she has no control over the fact that she's disgusted by him. It's an instinctive reaction. That's just the way it is. There's nothing anyone else can tell her to feel differently. So it's out of her control. There's nothing that she could do to make this marriage work. So anusi b'davar v'lo midait osakein, that she is compelled and that she's not doing this on purpose. V'afilu isha k'sheira yafshali ba'al esamila, and even a wonderful woman who's very committed to the sanctity and integrity of marriage, it's not possible for her to be physically intimate with somebody she hates. V'afal pi she'ein shom mum nicker. So even if the reality is that there is no visible mum, still, if a woman hates the man, she can't be with him. Many times it will happen that a woman will hate a man even if there is no visible mum. Right? This is an expression you find in a lot of Rishonim. They compare it to tastes with food. It's just we can't evaluate, we can't speak on behalf of anyone else what they should like and what they shouldn't like. So, right, exactly. That if somebody likes a food that you don't like or vice versa, there's nothing to talk about, it just is. And so, too, it's the same story here. So this is the Tosfos' root expression. You find versions of this in the Library of Rishonim that you can't argue about such a point. That's just the way it is. Shein yoch lecha maif lasani loy, v'nesai v'olav, and it's disgusting to him, v'ein shum derech kan l'kfuya. There's nothing you can do about this to force it. Ki alas l'terech l'kasha, v'lososo lai takshik bo, maybe you could try to butter her up, but there's nothing really you can do to force it. It either works or it doesn't work, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Yadarava, and hainu yodin v'vadai, shetayim v'emesh imos v'enel. If we had actually known, if we could actually know, that what she's saying is the truth, that he's really disgusting to her. And she has not set her sights on anyone else. So then what, says the Tosfos Rid? Hainu kofin habal lahotzi. Then we would indeed force the husband to divorce. You have to tram the kaman, parakamade, that's what we'll say later on in yesterday's Tafyomi. Very, very significant Tosfos Rid, right? Every line of the Tosfos Rid is kind of important, right? It's basically saying that what's the reason for the kfiya on the cases in the Mishnah? It's because they're all definitions of mos. So really, mos is the reason we're kofa divorce. But we can only do it in cases which are visible. So a generalized, subjective nisus that we can't identify, we're practically not able to act on because of the concern that it's something else. But if we could know that it is this, then we would actually be kofed just like the Rambam. Then so that was the last of the story of those cases. She's not able to handle it. Since in this case we are unclear about her taina, she came in a row in the Baal of Osnam woman, since we do not see these problems in the Baal, that we have to worry, since we have no way of verifying what's going on, we have to worry that maybe she has set her eyes on someone else. And that's why she's saying this, therefore we cannot compel him to divorce her. So that's, we have to leave it as it is, we have to leave her married, but we don't punish her by reducing her ksuba, because maybe it's true, there's nothing she can do about it. Delayed Yodea Maris Nafsho, right? We know this idea we find in Chosim Kippur, by fasting when you're sick. That a heart knows what's going on, no one else can tell it what to do. So a line like this was once quoted in a very different context, but the Maisa, we can't compel her to have different feelings. Ella Mefatinosho Shema Tafshot, but we try to convince her to like it, but it's not going to be in our control what's going to work or not. The Imro and Shayna Mestratza Badavra, if we see it's just not happening, Aim Bezdin's Kakin Lakofa. So then Bezdin's not going to force her to go along with it. The Shema Anusahi, the Shema Gamhi at Siva Badavra Shabbat Mosana. Maybe she has no choice in the matter, and she's also pretty upset about this. V'imishom Igan Habal, if you're going to worry about him, that he is left alone with nobody. So Yachalisi Shacheres. So the Yotzizu, the Yitei Lach Shubasa, Shein Bezni Chalom Lekonsa, the Shubasa, Nafshi Tanei Tainis Oros, the Zehah Kitaru, and the Ophel, who Shein Lazimah. Okay, fine. He goes on to say a lot more, but again, I recommend the whole thing. Every line so far, lines are short, but still every line on the side of the page of this Tosfos Rid is all very important. So it seems like some of the Rishonim are coming from that perspective. Ram is 100% right, but we can't do it in real life, because the whole nature of Mos Alai is that it's not verifiable, and therefore we can't act on it because the risk of Eishes Ish to the Shok is too great. Shmuley?
Even according to the Tosfos Rid, there would be some, I guess we would prefer if we can suggest to the husband to divorce her, meaning
yes.
Ideally we can't force him, but that, like, what they're living in now is not an ideal situation, so we would suggest it to him.
So probably. Probably. Likely, very likely, but not 100%. Because it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, and certainly, to skip ahead, you know, we get to the contemporary Pesach, you know, then we find ourselves in that situation for sure. Because if we really have a situation like this is described, so since most of the postmen don't pass from with the Rambam, we'd be afraid to use kfiya in such a case, but we would be close to it, we'd have a lot of reasons to want to use kfiya, so we would probably do everything just short of kfiya to try to convince a divorce. But it is interesting that, for example, if you saw the TOD today, the Yeshuvas Rashba Miuchasas Ramban, which was Kufa Medalit instead of Kufa Medhei, as it was written on the sheet. So if you saw that there are those who disagree completely with the Rambam, and it sounds like it's not like the Tosfos Rid, it sounds like it's just saying that the whole concept is wrong. That's not what we're kofir for. That we're kofir for things, maybe for things that are more permanent. Maybe that's the idea. And here, we don't know, so feelings change. They go back and forth. People are in love-hate relationships. They hate you today, they love you yesterday. And so, who knows what will be tomorrow. So, therefore, maybe that's where it's coming from. That we wouldn't necessarily say this justifies kfiyah in the same way as the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Zayin. And it could be, this is the way Rabbi Yashar, for example, when his Chukas reads the view of those Rishonim, that we don't even say Chiyuv Lagarish, meaning that not only will we not be kofed, but we won't even say that we necessarily recommend it. Because maybe the idea, the reason you wouldn't say that, is because maybe it'll change, they're going through a bad patch or whatever. Maybe a lot of couples at one point could have said Mo'i Salai and then they got past it, who knows. So maybe we wouldn't even recommend it. We allow it if both parties want, but we wouldn't necessarily recommend it. And that's also where we find in our Gemara the idea of Yud-Beis Chodesh, according to some Rishonim, upon here, that maybe it's a situation that will pass. So, to Shmuley's question, I'll say probably, but there are those who wouldn't necessarily say that, they wouldn't even recommend it. So, I hope that's an answer, that basically you're right in practice, that even if we're not ready to say Kfiya, we probably encourage it with everything short of Kfiya. But there is another voice in the Rishonim that wouldn't necessarily say that. Maybe that's an understandable position also, because maybe it's perceived as a situation that doesn't have to be permanent. So then at minimum, what it means, if that's the way she feels today, so then she doesn't have to be with him today. She doesn't have to be with him until the situation passes. But we won't necessarily either force or maybe even encourage an end to the marriage while the situation might still have a possibility of changing. Okay. So I asked you to look at the Rush and to tell me if the Rush might be a in-between view or a third view. So did anyone see the Rush and the Chubas? So Arya, you want to tell me why, if you agree with me, if you don't agree with me, but tell me what I might have been looking at in the Rush?
Maybe you're referring to that he says, Licha Chila, we should go, but since it's such a big machlokas, Licha Chila, we should go with not doing force, but if there was force done, then we could hold like the Rambam. And that's okay.
Right, you know, he does say that. That's true also, which itself is a little interesting because it's a little bit at odds with the type of position he takes himself, which sounds more absolute than he says his own position, even though he then acknowledges that, you know, b'dieved, you can rely on the Rambam and that kind of approaches it then as kind of a suffix issue. But I was actually thinking about another phrase where he expresses something else. I was asked also if the Rush in the code in the Gemara and Subas, if that's an equally valid source to find what I was looking for. So he says things similar here, but it was more explicit in the Chubas. So I copied down his exact language in the Chubas, so I will read it to you, and I'll tell you exactly what I was looking at, and you tell me if you think this might be another opinion. Right now, I'll frame it this way to help call attention to what I'm looking for. That what we've seen is, on the one hand, some Rishonim saying that yes, Mo'is Salai is really a reason for Kfiyas Get, but we're afraid maybe she's interested in somebody else, so we can't act on it. And we've seen others saying that Mo'is Salai really is not a reason at all. So here's the language of the Rush in the Chubas. Yes. Yosu HaTema HaGadol HaRambam. Right, you see that language again, it sounds much more direct than the other statements where he says you can remind the Rambam of the epic. But Yosu HaTema HaGadol, he's shocking what the Rambam says. Shekasav Shem Amram Astiu Kofram Salashayit Lagarsha Lefish Eida Kishvuya Shekibor L'Samilo. That's all a direct quote from the Rambam. And says the Rush, that's all shocking to me. Uman Nesinas Tam Lachof Esayish Lagarish. What kind of reason is that to force a guy to divorce his wife? Right, so do you see that in the Shuvah Rush? So what is he saying there? and saying that basically, what? The Rambam saying that just because she hates him, we force him to divorce her? Just because she likes somebody else, she's interested in some other guy, and he's more attractive than the husband of her youth. So we'll give her whatever she wants, and we'll let him leave her childhood sweetheart to go run off with this guy? That's a good reason to force a divorce. Adin?
If it's such a big tema, then why at the end they say if somebody...
I know, that's us. Yeah, that's what we said before, that it is a little surprising, a little bit of an inconsistent tone in the rush. I agree with you 100%.
So he agreed that that there is such a position in the halakha, but he just doesn't necessarily agree with the svara behind it.
Could be, yeah. It could also be that he may agree that it draws on other factors, you know, so therefore it's enough to be effective to the evidence, but I feel it's maybe bad policy. But what do you think about that line that we just read? Right? So it seems like that's different than the other Rishon. The other Rishon was saying, Mois Olai is a good reason, but we're afraid it could be confused with Nosna Ineha Ba'acher. Now where's the Rosh at? The Rosh said, what? We should be kofi because Mois Olai, just because she's interested in some other guy? So it seems like the Rush understands that is Nasna Ineha Ba'acher. That basically, Mois Olai actually does include a more generalized distaste basically for any reason. He does interpret it as essentially anything goes, even if you're just kind of frivolously falling for other men and your husband, you got a perfectly good husband at home who has absolutely nothing wrong and takes care of you and is wonderful and is kind and has absolutely no issues whatsoever. But the other guy is flashier, so you want to abandon your faithful, wonderful husband. So says the Rush, we're going to have to call for a get because of that. So it seems like he's not afraid that it could be confused with Nasna Ba'acher, that he thinks it is that he seems to have a much more expansive idea of what Mois Olai is, and therefore, for that reason, he thinks it's inherently not a good basis for Kfiyah Beget. So maybe that's a very different reason than maybe either of the two other possibilities. So James, you could disagree with me and how it reads, but I think that that's a striking position. Are you had a comment?
I mean, the Gemara has Mois Olai as a case that these local families can leave. So then...
Well, the Gemara doesn't say she could leave, that's the thing. The Gemara says she... All we know for sure from the Gemara, right, is that it's a justified reason not to be physically intimate. It might mean more than that, but if you're just going from the Gemara, that's all we really know. Right, why didn't the Gemara say anything else? The Gemara says that she's Meredes, Mitashmish, and we ask her why. And if she says Mois Olai, that means something. So what does it mean? Maybe it just means that we don't reduce her ksuba. In other words, we don't do anything to force her to be with him. So it's also interesting, the Rush, either the Rush, I think, is either interpreting Mois Olai much more broadly, and there is a lot of discussion, as we've seen, just what does the Rambam include in Mois Olai? Is it possible the Rambam has a more constricted definition of Mois Olai? In which case, it's possible that the Rambam and the Rush are really talking past each other. You could read the Rambam in such a way, we'll have to get more to this tomorrow, you could read the Rambam in such a way that the Rambam is simply defining Mois Olai very differently than the Rush is. And therefore, they're essentially talking past each other. Now, basically, the Rambam is saying, Mois Olai is a very specific revulsion to a husband for justifiable, albeit subjective, reasons. And therefore, we should be close to a get. And the Rush is hearing from that, Mois Olai, you mean just any kind of frivolous desire to pick somebody else? That's enough reason to call for a get? So maybe they're not really disagreeing with each other. They're not really fully saying the same thing. They're really talking about different mitzvahs. That might be the case. The Rambam's not really clear. The Rambam says, suddenly, that might be a little bit of a clue. Tosos Rid throwing in Anusa in his version, again, Tosos Rid could be grouped conceptually with the Rambam because he says the same thing as the Rambam but stopped short. So the Tosos Rid could be on the same side as the Rambam in terms of the definition. So what do you have? You have suddenly in the Rambam, you have Anusa in the Tosos Rid. So does that tell us something rather limited, maybe? And maybe they just disagree with the Rush in terms of what Mois Olai means. It's also interesting that the Rush maybe could be a little bit psychologically based, and this is certainly relevant, and there's a lot of studies one has done about this, and there's a lot of psychological literature about this, that we don't really understand our motives. So when, let's say, for example, this is one of the major issues that we have with relationships in general, that Liyat Suyer, if a woman would fall in love, married woman would fall in love with another man, she may suddenly realize that she hates her husband. That, all the little things, that the little habits he has that were so endearing, all of a sudden, they're incredibly irritating and she hates him. So maybe what the Rosh is getting at is that, yes, okay, right now, she hates him, she finds him just repulsive. But why? Because she's trying to undo the marriage because she's in love with somebody else. So that, yes, she'll be able to claim Moses Alai in a sense of him being something negative, but that is psychologically caused by her desire to be with somebody else and therefore to find some way to undermine the marriage. So that becomes another possibility. So I think the language of the Rosh over there is very interesting, clearly seems to be at odds with, I think you have to read it different than what the Tosfos Lid says, and probably different than what the Rambam says, in concept, not just in application.
How does the Rosh find Moslem? How does he get around the Rambam's problem? Should he keep prepping a Shuya to the Baal now? Because even if that's the case, I mean, she's still being held captive, so to speak. So how does the Rosh find that?
So you have to say,
right,
so you have to say that she's not held captive. She made a commitment to a marriage, and that's what the commitment means. Nothing objectively changed. She didn't develop any mum. She didn't do anything else that we can see. So that's what commitment means, I'll understand. Now, physically, we can't force her to have relations. Okay, fine. But the idea that you may still be committed in the relationship overall, the non-physical component of the relationship, Rush might understand, you know, that that's what the commitment means, that unless you can, which is what, you know, American law often has felt as well, you know, that you need grounds for a divorce, that you can't just get divorced. The idea of no-fault divorce is relatively recent. You know,
irreconcilable differences.
Right, you know, you have to, which also, you know, becomes a problem. This is also what you find in some divorce cases, that because then the downside of requiring fault for a divorce means that people have to make up one. You know, so that might be essentially what the Rush is getting at here also. That she needs a reason to get out, so she'll say Moses Alai, maybe it's not really connected to anything. So it seems like there is a lot of different conceptions here among the Rishonim of what exactly Moses Alai means and what exactly its implications are. So just as we will have to finish tomorrow, let me ask you one question. So according to, let's say, Tosfos Rid, so we asked, why does Tosfos Rid disagree with the Rambam? So now let's ask it from the other direction. Why does the Rambam disagree with Tosfos Rid? And why is he not concerned with this issue that maybe it's really she's interested in somebody else, and therefore she's claiming Moses Alai and she's fooling us. And we may force a divorce and send out an Eishes Ish to the world when really there were no grounds for it. So if that's what Tosfos Rid is worried about, and he seems other than that to really be compatible with the Rambam, so why is the Rambam not follow Tosfos Rid? Let's ask the question from that angle. Right.
So I mean, Tosfos presents a reason that she wouldn't say Moses Alai if she didn't really mean it because she loses the ksuba.
So that's one possibility. One issue is that maybe if the ksuba isn't on the table, rather, so then maybe that should affect the umbina. It's one possibility. The couple of other approaches within the Rambam that some of the commentaries in the Rambam suggest in the Sefer B'nei Ahuva. So he quotes that there is an idea that an Isha is Nemenes, for example, if a woman claims that she was divorced. So we believe her because we have a chazaka that she's not going to want to create a situation where she's an Eishes Ish and all the consequences are going to go along with that based on a lie. So you could apply that here as well. You could say that if she's going to end up really being an Eishes Ish and paying the price in the next world for that, so then she's not going to take that on to get herself just to use a ploy to get out of a marriage and take the eternal consequences of being an Eishes Ish. We have a chazaka, she's not going to do that. So the interesting thing is that B'nai Ahuva is based on a Rush and getting that. So you could ask, so why didn't the Rush himself then agree with that here? So there is a Magia in the B'nai Ahuva. He says that maybe the difference is that that case is talking about a situation where she understands the consequences. She understands that if she claims she was divorced and she really wasn't, so she understands that that means she's really an Eishes Ish halakhically. Here, the issues are more subtle. She'll figure she got to get it. And she's not going to understand that the difference between Mois Alai and interested in somebody else is so consequential that really she's an Ashesish. So we don't necessarily have that same confidence, and maybe that's what the Rosh is saying, and the Rambam is willing to say that we have enough faith in this woman that she's not going to fake her way out of a marriage and then have to bear the spiritual consequences of what that would mean. There are others who suggest in the Sefer Kovitz Layada Chazaka, he suggests that this goes back to, combine this with our other famous Rambam, we have the Rambam that the Pintaliyad Rambam, the more famous Rambam, that ultimately the husband wants to do the right thing. So we could assume here also that ultimately, since we're being called for the get, and the get is, according to Rambam, and the get is all connected to his desire to do the right thing, so we should also assume that he's divorcing her with full das, that whatever the grounds are, these are justifiable grounds, and I divorce her completely miratzon based on that. That you could actually say it even simpler when he says it, but you could say it that since ultimately, after the kfiyah is there, we say that it's miratzon. So we could say that the Ratzon is across the board, that once he's divorcing her in a way that whatever the justifiable grounds are, that's his intent, and therefore we don't have to worry that normally if a man divorces his wife willingly, so then whatever the basis was, it's chal, she's not an Ashesish anymore. So what we're concerned here is that since it's using the process of kfiyah, right, since it's subverting Ratzon, if that was not justified by the facts, it would be a get musa. But if we say that the husband has such das that even whatever the circumstances are, he's willing to make it a willing get at the end of the day, so then that hopefully should be able to address that problem. And maybe that's why the Rambam is not worried. Rambam Shitoso is not worried about this concern that the Tosfos Rid and others bring up. Okay, so that still leaves us a very important question, which goes to God willing tomorrow, we'll finish this. The very important question of what if circumstances are such that we really can look to the facts and it seems like there is a basis for this meisus, and should we act on that? Just to quickly review what we spoke about today. So we saw that we asked the question about why do the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. We saw that there were, we didn't see them inside, we mentioned there were at least 7 different views in terms of how to combine the different din that the Gemara talks about. And ultimately it's a major machlokus. The Rambam says kofa based on this. A lot of other Rishonim say no, and Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seems to assume no, and the Beis Yosef says you would even be motzi from a second husband if it was kviya based on this. So what's the machlokus about, considering the fact that the Rambam premises position on a statement that the other Rishonim probably agree with, that we wouldn't force her to be with physically with somebody who she hates. So we saw maybe 3 different ways of seeing it in the Rishonim. Tosfos Rid, who essentially agrees completely in concept with the Rambam, but says practically we can't do it because that maybe she's interested in somebody else. We, along the way, noted a lot of important words in the Tosfos Rid, such as the idea of her being anusa in this situation. We'll have to come back to how significant that is or isn't. We saw that other Rishonim say that it's simply not enough of a basis to be kofa a get, and as a Yashiv read that means not even enough to encourage a get, to obligate a get without kriya. Maybe it's simply perceived to be a passing situation, and therefore we're not going to either compel or even encourage a divorce in such a situation. And then we saw the Rosh, which had a very different formulation, and it was noted that there's a little bit of an inconsistency in tone, that the Rosh seems very absolutely against the Rambam, but is also willing to allow the Rambam's position to the other. But the Rosh is a statement that why shouldn't we call for a get based on his reasoning? Just because she's interested in somebody else and wants to abandon her childhood sweetheart, why should we fulfill that desire? So it could be, as we suggested, that he simply has a very different understanding of what Mois Alai means. Rambam's understanding is still up for discussion. Maybe they're just talking past each other rather than actually arguing on the facts. And then we saw a little bit more about that. We raised the question that why does the Rambam not agree with the Tosfos Rid then? Why is that not a valid concern? So we mentioned a couple of approaches. The approach that if there's no ksuba, so then as Tosfos suggests, that that's going to take care of the issue, which maybe she's interested in somebody else. Or a couple of other ideas. There's a rush that suggests that a woman is believed to claim she's divorced because she would not use a lie to get out of marriage and then have to face the spiritual consequences. So that could be the case here as well, but the fact that it's based on the rush who disagrees is interesting, except that the difference could be the case of claiming your divorce is much more clear-cut. Here, to claim a more subtle difference, she's not going to be aware of the consequences there. Or we also mentioned that, as the Sefer Kogos Yad HaChazaka writes, that perhaps the Rambam Lashitaso, that the whole idea of Kfir Get works because the inner Ratzon is going to ultimately go along with it, so too, maybe even if the grounds end up being faulty, but he gives the Get of his full Ratzon on tonight, whatever it has to be, and therefore that's not going to end up hostile to Get Lashitaso, and therefore the Rambam is not worried about that. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will finish that, and we will continue from there. All right. So, Ashrei Yishev Beis Zachar, Ashrei Yishev Beis Zachar.